It is good to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, for singing sustains us and gets us through. Singing the songs of Zion gets us through. Singing and hearing and drawing strength from the old spirituals of the Black Church, a place and people of hope and of endurance, gets us through. Dancing in the kitchen gets us through. Art gets us through. Friendship gets us through. Service and kindness get us through. Prozac helps us get through. Lexapro gets us through. I'm just being honest here. Good therapists help us get through. And the ancient and faithful witness of the Word of God helps us to get through. So hear now these words of witness from the ancient and faithful prophet Jeremiah of Anathoth. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. This is the word of the Lord. Many of you know that part of my spiritual practice is to read a psalm every morning, a psalm every night, and three other chapters of the Good Book every day. Genesis to Revelation, Genesis to Revelation, in the beginning to even so. And these past 3 weeks, I've happened to be in the book of Jeremiah. And this past week, I was reading in Jeremiah chapter 29 and following, the chapters about the fall of Jerusalem. And so I heard Jeremiah's counsel to God's people with absolute clarity. Build houses, plant gardens, get married, have babies, Seek the peace of the city to which you will find yourself soon in exile. We have just experienced what I think may well be the most consequential presidential election of our lifetimes. And I know that some of you do not feel like it is the fall of Jerusalem, anything but, in fact. But some of the rest of us, for some of the rest of us, it feels like something scary and something dreadful, like a breach in the wall, which has up to now been a protection and hedge against violation and repression. A friend asked me earlier this week, "What are you so afraid of?" And I wanted to say, Muslim bans, deportations, kids in cages. I wanted to say the repeal of Obergefell and the abrogation of gay marriage. I wanted to say the outright criminalization of transgender persons and all abortions. And I also wanted to say, you wouldn't understand. Not that they could not, but they would not understand. And I guess that is what I would ask of you today if you do not sense the same fear and foreboding that many of your fellow members of this body are feeling right now, that you would at least try to understand, that you would practice understanding, that you would practice empathy, that you would consider what it means to be in solidarity. Solidarity does not mean agreement in all things, but it does mean a commitment to the core ethic of care. And we are really going to need to care for each other in these next few weeks and months and years, decades that are to come. Now, if you are feeling fear and foreboding and dread right now, then admittedly, Jeremiah's words may seem a little Pollyannish at first. Build houses may sound like a spiritual bypass, something akin to God's got the wheel, or good vibes only, or let's just stick to the power of positive thinking. It may sound like denial or avoidance or even worse, optimism. As I told you last week, I'm no optimist. And let me reassure you. Jeremiah of Anathoth was no optimist either. In fact, he was known as a prophet of doom, for God's sake. So his words, build houses, were not meant to be upbeat or idealistic or Pollyannish in any sense, but rather to say, brothers and sisters, we need to get ready. And we need to get busy because we are going to be here a while. Babylon was beating down. And Jerusalem had fallen, and all of the people were being carried off into exile. And while other false prophets were saying it would just be a short time in Babylon, the true prophet Jeremiah knew that they were going to be there a long, long while, and they needed to prepare themselves for the long, long haul. Let me tell you something. Like it or not, we are going to be here a while. Something has fundamentally and seismically shifted, and the fault lines and the fractures of this nation, and frankly, this world, are now obvious. The foundations of the post-World War II order and the United States' place in it have been fracturing for decades. Our faith in the institutions of government and education and science and history have been fracturing. Our churches have been fracturing. Our parties have fractured. And the next thing that will happen is that there will be a fracturing in our international relationships and treaties. The stable order of the world that most of us grew up with has been fundamentally fractured. And now what we see is something much more chaotic and unsteady and unknown. The old order has passed and the new has come, as Elon Musk put it in a comment on X, the Latin words, along with a photo of him and President-elect Trump, Novus Ordo Seclorum, New World Order. And I have every reason to believe him. And I have every reason to think that we are going to be here a while. So what do we do? What do we do? We build houses. We plant gardens. We get married. We do the things that are necessary to sustain ourselves and our families and our community. We increase and we do not decrease. In the words of our stewardship campaign, we lengthen the cords of our tent and do not fold it up. We strengthen down our stakes and do not pull them out. After the Babylonian army marched in to Jerusalem, it deported a whole lot of the residents and left there in the city only a remnant. And the remnant got in its mind the idea that they were going to flee, go somewhere else. They wanted to go to Egypt. And the prophet Jeremiah said to them, "You're not going to Egypt. You're staying right here. You're the remnant. And your job is to stay right here." I thought of that after I read an ad for the ACLU on Saturday. It said, "We are the American Civil Liberties Union, and we are not moving to Canada." We are not moving to Canada. Not unless we have to. We're staying right here. We're the remnant. And we are burying our stakes and lengthening our cords and raising our tent right here in Texas. And this Broadway is our house. And it is the tent that we are raising. And I am asking you to help us strengthen those stakes and lengthen those cords, because Broadway Baptist Church is and will be a beacon of light, a house of prayer, and a harbor of refuge for more and more and more and more and more, for just such a time as this. This is why we exist. This is why we are called. This is what we are about. And I want you to know. I want you to know, beloved, that I believe so much in this church for this moment, right now. I believe in our mission and our vision. We are working for a church and world where all people are welcome and belong in the beloved community of God. I believe in that. You know what? Others of you believe in it too. I was so down on Wednesday, but I came to church and was suddenly so encouraged because I looked around and saw several of you wearing those Be Love t-shirts. A little sign of hope. And one of you gave me a card that on the front said, "Love wins." And I got a call from a couple in Seattle on Wednesday who were wanting to join a church in Texas. They've been watching. They wanted to join Broadway Baptist Church because of what we are all about. They said, how can we do that? I said, I'll send you a pledge card right now. They said, thank you. Please do. This church has a mission and a vision for just such a time as this. And maybe it's never been more important than it is right now. So this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. We're going to build the house. And we're going to plant the garden. And we're going to get married. And some of us are going to go ahead and get gay married. And some of y'all are going to make babies. Not me, I'm done. But we are all together going to dedicate those babies. And we're going to baptize them as believers. And we are going to teach them to follow in all of the ways of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, for just such a time as this. You know what else we're going to do? We're going to worship. We are going to worship. My grandfather used to say, if you die on Friday, they're still going to have church on Sunday. We are going to worship, and we are going to organize, and we are going to advocate, and we are going to cause good trouble. We're going to make music, Dennis. And we're going to make art. And we're going to make peace as best as we are able to make peace. And we're going to break bread with whomever we can break bread. And we're going to build bridges. And we are going to pray for enemies. We're going to pray for the president and the Senate and the House and the legislature and the sheriff and the commissioner's court, because Lord knows they need our prayers. We're going to pray for each other also. We're going to pray for our neighbors, and we're going to pray for, watch over, and protect our neighbors. We are going to welcome, watch over, pray for, and protect the stranger. We're going to build the house. And we're going to plant the garden. And we're going to sing the songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And we're going to teach them. We're going to teach them to the next generation so that they will learn to sing them even by the waters of Babylon if they have to. Beloved, we're going to be strong. We're going to be kind. And we're going to be love. Even in Babylon, we are going to be love. That's what we're going to do. On Thursday, I was talking with Charles Kiker. He's 90-something years of age. He had a great grandbaby this week. And I called him to check in on things, congratulate him. His granddaughter, Lydia Bean, who is chair of our Justice Committee, had a baby on Wednesday. And I joked with Charles and I said, you know, it's just like a family full of prophets like y'all to have a baby during election week. We chuckled a little bit and talked old preacher talk. And then I started telling about Jeremiah and Jeremiah's words about build houses and stay and all of those good words about how we go on together. And then I reminded him that at the end of the story, after the Babylonians had come in, the city was basically decimated, had been taken by the army, was worthless as it could be, pitiless in its future. Jeremiah goes out and does something almost unimaginable. He goes out and he buys a little plot of land right in the midst of the siege, right outside of Jerusalem. And Charles, who was a real estate man before he became a Baptist preacher, said to me in a chuckle, "That was a really stupid buy." And I suppose that it was in the short run. But Jeremiah was not thinking about the short run. He was thinking about the long while. He was thinking about the long haul. And the prophet of doom was actually thinking of a prophecy of hope. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm your nation. Plans for hope and a future for your people." Build houses. Plant gardens, have babies, even during elections. Have babies and teach them to sing the songs and hymns and spiritual songs of Zion. Even in Babylon. For God is there too. And God, beloved, well, God is gonna get us through. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say, amen and amen.